This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck, and I thank everybody for taking some time out of their weekend, whether it's on the radio, on our podcast, or on our website, kereport.com, to join us. And I always appreciate everybody weighing in. One quick comment that I want to make is that there were some very interesting comments made this week on our website regarding a sponsor company, Novo Resources. I had the president and CEO, Quentin Henny. He will be joining me later on in this show. And I also had John Kaiser share his insights into the recent bulk sampling news. So please, everybody, check out those interviews. In the first segment, I am kicking off the show with Chris Temple, a regular contributor to our website, and I have to say one of our most valuable contributors. Chris, in this segment, and even as a add-on to the weekend show, we are going to talk about the potential of infrastructure spending and the potential of this concept helping out the general markets and economy. Before we get into the actual infrastructure talk, let's talk about how economies used to function, how growth used to be generated within an economy and how that's changed. Take it away, Chris.
Well, Corey, in the not-too-distant future, and you'll know about this, of course, and we'll let the regular listeners and visitors to the KE Report know about this as well, I'm going to be announcing a series of webinars, and it's going to start off with what has been, for over 30 years, my signature presentation, as I call it, which is entitled Understanding the Game. And it helps people understand the way in which our fiat currency-based fractional reserve system works at its core and what that means and how you need to understand these truths, which really aren't hard to get your head around at all when you get right down to it, as you'll learn, folks. You need to understand these things to understand the motivations of bankers and politicians when they pitch different policies and the need always to set policy based not always on what is best for the people, the electorate, and so forth, but on what is going to perpetuate the game, what is going to keep the banking system and this whole skyscraper of cards from imploding. Now, once upon a time, as you alluded to, in the old economy, and some of us are old enough to remember this, or at least the last days of this, we all understood that when it came to investing, and when it came to finding opportunities, particularly in the stock market among companies and things like that, you first had to have a healthy, prosperous, underlying organic economy. In other words, what came first was that people created things, they built companies, they earned money. In the post-war era, the middle class enjoyed really one of the only times in this country's history, when you get right down to it, a steadily rising standard of living for the 50s through the 60s, started to run out of steam in the 70s in real terms. And it was based on all of those things and a growing middle class, a healthy economy, good spending, and all the rest of that stuff that you made investment decisions. And it was that underlying economy and the attributes of it that drove the financial markets. It also drove not only the stock market, but the debt markets. And depending on how creditworthy you were or were not, you might pay a little bit more interest to borrow money. You had a healthy savings rate. You had a healthy interest rate level for people to save. And again, things worked as they should. And really, incredibly, as a lot of people think they still do, or at least maybe should. But that all changed starting in the 1970s, Corey. And the first major change, of course, was when President Nixon decided that he was going to end what was left of the gold standard at that time. He unleashed Arthur Burns on the world, who was his Fed chairman and the predecessor for the real monetary mad scientist that came later, Alan Greenspan. And throughout most of the 70s, we saw a massive expansion in the money supply. And the dollar went down, commodity prices went up, and all the rest of this. And it caused all kinds of trouble. And it really was the transition. The 70s through the early 80s was a transition from that old economy that I just described to what we have today, which has turned the old order upside down to the point where today we have the monetary authorities, chiefly the Federal Reserve, that has to, quote, create prosperity in the form of ever more credit and ever more cheap money. And that hopefully trickles down to the economy, to consumers and so forth, and creates enough activity on their part, not so much to grow the economy, but to service the increased debt that has gone along with this whole regimen. Now, where this first started, and this is a story that many people have long since forgotten, but it's very instructive. People, some of them remember the Latin American credit crisis back in the late 70s and into the early 80s that was really more acute than anything we had here with our stagflation in the U.S. You had triple and even quadruple digit inflation rates, interest rates. These countries like Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, and some of the rest were literally about to cease to exist as far as viable governments and financial entities to go along with them. And people were trying to figure out what to do. Now, at the same time that they had those issues and the bankers got together and tried to figure out how to fix this, you had something else that started to happen. And if you followed the right people and were members of organizations like Earth First and so forth, a very big subject at that time was how almost at the flip of a switch, there was massive deforestation in the Amazon. And in all of these countries that were having trouble paying their debts, you had huge chunks of land where you had rainforests cut down, you had roads being paved, you had services being brought in, you had land being made ready for corporate farms, long before there was the actual organic need for that kind of activity. And what a lot of people know, and what some people still haven't quite figured out, is that those two things, the credit crisis and this massive deforestation, went together. Now, folks, think about this. If any of you listening have ever owned land or have bought land, you know that its value is based on how close it is to being ready to build on or if it's building ready right now. Is it scrub brush with rainforest? And in the case of some of these countries, you know, flora and fauna and monkeys in the trees and all this kind of stuff, it's not good for a corporate farm, it's not good for a factory, it's not good for roads, or does this land have utilities and roads and so forth? And literally what happened to a very great extent that enabled the debts of these countries to be put off and managed was when big chunks of land were made ready for development and went up on paper by several times what they were. This made it possible for the Brady Bond Regimen, if those of you who remember that, the former Treasury Secretary Nicholas Brady helped to craft this regimen, where they were able, based on this increased collateral in these nations, to put together this deal to save South America and take the inflation and interest rates back down. And with that success, a light bulb went off everybody's head, you know, and they said, you know what, we can do this here too.
And, Chris, I'm going to have to jump in here because we are out of time for this segment, but we are going to continue this conversation on a special weekend special on our website, which I want people to visit and check out, because that's where Chris and I will actually discuss some of the infrastructure spending as well as some other tactics that we think are going to be utilized to increase maybe some economic activity, but give the central banks and the people in power the ability to continue to grow these bubbles. So everybody, please visit KEReport.com. Check out that weekend special for our continuation conversation.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dentists, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP Hardened Generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP Hardened Solar Generator Energy Insurance. For your family or business, call Portable Solar LLC today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the second segment here on the weekend edition of the KE Report. Again, for anybody who wants to listen to that second half of the interview that I had with Chris Temple, in this segment, I do want to highlight a company that is a sponsor on the website that I am a shareholder of, and it's a company that I think has been front and center in the resource sector for at least the last couple months. We're chatting about Novo Resources. I have Dr. Quentin Henney on the line with me. He is the president and chairman of Novo. And Quentin, before we get into it, I do want to say that I did have a conversation with John Kaiser that was posted on our website on Wednesday, where John and I discussed Novo and the recent bulk sample results in about a 20-minute conversation. That is very much worth everybody's time, and I will have a link posted in the weekend show posting to that interview. Be sure to check that out. If anybody can't find it on our website, feel free to email me. I can easily send you the link. Quentin, that being said, it's always great to hear from you and to understand what's going on, first of all, with this Karratha Gold project. As I mentioned, the first bulk sample results hit the market on Tuesday. They were, in my eyes, very positive, in John's eyes, very positive. The market took positively to them. Can you give us the takeaway of what this then means for how you're going to be further exploring this fairly unique gold deposit?
Sure thing, Corey. Good to present this once again. It's a very exciting story. It is a challenge. It's a very interesting deposit. Little background, you know, for listeners who don't know what we're chasing here, we're looking for gold that's hosted by conglomerate. Conglomerate is old gravel that was laid down eons ago in either, you know, a river or oceanic environment. And the rock was then subsequently lithified, turned to rock, basically made into rock, and was capped at some point by lava. So this lava sheet came out over the top of it and actually preserved the whole horizon, which is really critical in this story. We have a challenge in our hands, though, because the gold is very nuggety. In a placer, in gravels, you would expect gold particles to be fairly coarse, and that's kind of what we're dealing with here. The gold grains, as people will see in our recent news release, that were extricated from the bulk sample, are fairly large. You know, we're talking about a few millimeters to a few, maybe even 3 or 4 centimeters across. These are flat plate-like nuggets that are trapped in this gravel. All right, so what we were doing with this bulk sampling exercise is grabbing some material so we could wrap our minds around how we're going to sample this, how we're going to analyze it, things like that. All right, so what we did is we took the bulk sample. It was we thought it was around 700 kilos. It turned out to be closer to 600, but, you know, when you're in the field, you take your best guess. But anyway, we took the sample down to a laboratory in Perth called Nagrom Laboratories. It's a metallurgical laboratory. And they crushed the sample down. We put it through an ore sorting machine. This machine actually uses a combination of X-ray and induction coil to identify particles of rock that have gold nuggets in them. All right, so the machine can very, very quickly identify and select out rock that has particles of gold. So after putting it through the machine, we ended up with a small fraction, maybe around 2% of the total mass, ended up as being picked by the machine as having gold particles. And then the remaining fraction, 98% of the rock, we deemed as tailings. You know, tailings from the ore sorting machine were analyzed just like the concentrate, the mass that was pulled off. So we have a very good numbers now on both sets of fractions out of that rock, that bulk sample. And now this is important. I'll tell you why, is because the coarse fraction, yes, we know the gold ended up in there, but what's important is now we can quantify 85% of our gold ended up in that coarse fraction. That's remarkable. That means we can crush this material, put it through one of these machines, and the machine can literally just quickly sort the rock and concentrate 85% of the gold into just 2% of the mass. That's remarkable. Now, the other thing we learned is that the tailings from this exercise, these are rocks that were not identified by the machine as having gold, you know, gold particles. Those were assayed, and they still carry considerable gold, about 7 to 11 ppm, I believe, or a gram per ton. That's remarkable. Now, what that means is, there is a fine-grained gold component in this system. This is our first hard evidence that we have not just the nuggety gold, but there's a fine-grained gold component that could be very useful going forward. Okay, so imagine now, we're looking at drilling, we're looking at trenching this thing. We've got to be able to assess in some way, shape, or form grade of the deposit. Well, if you drill a hole, you know, even a large diameter hole, which we're planning on doing, you know, the odds of hitting nuggets is kind of, you know, sketchy. Like it's a challenge. The nuggets are kind of scattered randomly through the conglomerates, and, you know, each drill hole could either hit something or miss something.
It would just be very inconsistent in that sense.
Yeah, but because we have this, you know, potential fine-grained component, you know, we have to study more about it, but it could actually help us stitch things together. So in holes that we, you know, quote, miss, as you said, maybe we're not going to miss because there is a fine-grained gold component, and we should see it at least in some respect, all right? So this is very valuable data. It'll help us tie things together and, you know, potentially, you know, make this job of defining a resource or even just basically wrapping our mind around this thing much easier.
Now, this fine-grained gold, this tailings that were sorted out, that's something that John did point to in our conversation because the grade there, even as you said, somewhere between 7 and 11 grams per ton, that's also very good grade for a resource that could have almost that cherry on top with the nugget effect. How then do you go about drilling out this project? Can it be more conventional exploration that can further de-risk this project?
Yeah, so we're still planning on the large diameter drilling. This would be large diameter RC drilling. The rig that we're looking at, I want to be very clear here because people are, you know, they come back to me with emails saying, oh, you know, you're going to get grade smearing and this and that. And look, we've looked into this quite heavily. So this rig is specifically used for drilling diamond deposits with similar attributes to what we're dealing with. Diamond deposits, you know, hosted by kimberlites, have random diamonds scattered through them, and you have to grab a bulk sample, which this rig can do, to assess the, you know, the number of carats per ton. In this case, we're not looking at carats per ton, we're looking at grams per ton, and we're trying to get gold particles, all right? So the approach is similar, though. This rig does produce a good recovery. We've talked with the company. It produces a clean material. It doesn't appear to smear things, and, you know, downhole contamination should not be a huge issue. You know, and then the other aspect of this exploration is trenching.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio. To hear the full interview with Quentin Henning, please visit our website, kereport.com, and click on the Weekend Show posting.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-963-4946. Even better, call right now and you can get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over a million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-963-4946. 1-800-963-4946. 1-800-963-4946.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am joined by Mark Chandler. He is the Global Head of Currency Strategy at Brown Brothers Harriman. He joins me on pretty much a weekly basis to outline moves that we're seeing in the currency markets as well as the U.S. equity markets. Mark also has a fantastic website called Mark to Market, and that initial Mark is spelled with a C, just like his first name. Mark, what I want to do in this segment is chat about Bitcoin, because there is constantly this debate between whether Bitcoin is a currency, if it is deviated from its initial plan, and quite frankly, if it is really even an investable sector, which I think a lot of people who invested early would say this is one of the best investments that I have made. I have friends that bought Bitcoin at around $30 a Bitcoin. They didn't buy many, but if you look at where it's trading now at over $3,000, boy, that looks like one of the best trades I could have gotten into. Wish that I had. But where do you stand when it comes to Bitcoin and the argument of is it or is it not a currency?
Yes, you know, I think Bitcoin is one of the fascinating developments, really, of post the great financial crisis. And I think that really speaks to people's desire for decentralization, suspicion among the elite. So I think this, the mere fact that it exists, I think it's like sociologically significant. But economically, interesting, but I think the blockchain technology behind the Bitcoin is what really survives. I think the Bitcoin, here's what I think the problem is, Corey, that people mistrust fiat currencies. That's the money that you and I have in our pockets. It's not backed by gold or silver the way it was for our grandparents. So central banks print off as much as they want, it seems. So we want an alternative to this paper, valueless money. On the other hand, we need to be able to use this other thing to be able to purchase our goods and services. And there's the contradiction with Bitcoin. if we want it as an alternative to the paper money in our pocket that we fear may be worthless one day, then we want to hold on to the Bitcoins. But if we hold on to the Bitcoins, we're not going to use them to create that like critical mass of networking effect that turns these things into money. So that's why today it's more of a financial asset. It trades in the realm of circulation of capital. People don't so much use it. And this is an important distinction when we think about value or use value. There's use value, getting use out of something, buying a TV, buying a cell phone. And then there's exchange value. And the Bitcoin's value is just in its exchange, being able to sell it to somebody else. It's not in its use. And so I think that ultimately it's a nice fad. It's an interesting fad, I think, in Bitcoins. And there's, of course, the daily turnover of that cyber currency universe. Of course, Bitcoin is the largest, most famous of them. But there's, I want to say there's more than two dozen of them.
There are a lot of cryptocurrencies. You're right.
Yep. And you speak about, like, an investment. And so I often have to explain to friends and family about why what I do for a living is not gambling. And, of course, sometimes it's hard to make that distinction. But one of the things that makes at least my understanding of gambling and the markets, investing, different, is it's really about risk management. And so if you have Bitcoins, how do you really manage your risk? What are you holding them in? You're just betting on, you're gambling, betting on price appreciation rather than an interest stream that it can have or rather than value that it can create, like a cure for cancer or a service of providing book, people who want to buy books with people who want to sell books. There's no service that the Bitcoin really provides. You can't really use it. And so I suspect that it'll be in this realm for me. And this, my book is, I wrote, that came out earlier this year called Political Economy of Tomorrow, talks about the challenge of our time being one of surplus capital, of really too much money. And that's what's depressing the price of it. I think that Bitcoins are a reflection of this surplus capital. People have so much money that what are they trying to do with it? Try to preserve its value away from governments inflating or confiscating it.
So, Mark, in terms of this, what would change your mind when it comes to considering Bitcoin as a currency more so than anything else? It would, in my mind, would need to be accepted by a lot more people, but I don't even know how that would actually work without a whole big change.
Yeah, so I try to think about how can we define money? And of course, economists have money being a store of value, a unit of exchange. And so what can Bitcoins be? And so I think that for me, I'd say Bitcoins, I would accept that Bitcoins are money if a government, a serious government, would take them to retire one's tax obligations. So I have this comic book in which Clark Kent proposed to Lois Lane. Not Superman, but Clark Kent did. And when this comic book first hit the stands, it was like about $1.50, and it shoots up in like the black market, so to speak, to $20 a copy. I could have given it to a friend of mine to retire a debt I owed him. That would not make that comic book money. And so I think that if I could go give it to someone to take it, to retire an obligation, like the government, I think this is really a key measure of what it means to be money. Will the government accept it to pay your taxes?
That's a good point. That would, I think, really change a lot of people's perception of Bitcoin. But then, Mark, what about the concept that China has been driving a lot of the moves in Bitcoin for people trying to get their money out of the country, being almost an underground investment or avenue to save some of their money and get it out of their currency system?
Yeah, you raise a good point. That is to say the price of the Bitcoin has fluctuated quite a bit, though, of course, now it's on this big uptrend. And rule changes in other countries can influence the demand for Bitcoins. You mentioned China as a way to circumvent the capital controls that the government's put on. But there's also been rules, and for example, in Japan, they made Bitcoins then because of the failure of one of the exchanges. They brought Bitcoins under a regulatory umbrella. And because it came under this regulatory umbrella, and then, of course, remember what India did last year? They got rid of, made people exchange the highest notes, which were about, say, $10, $15 notes. That was the highest value because inflation ate the value of them away. And so when India tried doing this, that might have also increased Bitcoin. So Bitcoin seemed to have increased Chinese demand, Japanese demand, Indian demand, plus the usual people who are looking for these kinds of vehicles for investing and trading. But again, it's hard for me to consider them investments when there's very little way to manage the risk one has. And this is what I really think separates oftentimes retail investors from institutional investors. The idea of the emphasis on risk management.
I guess that's a very good point, and that there is a certain aspect of Bitcoin that confuses me from the investment standpoint, because there were issues back in the day with the exchanges that they were traded on. From what I understand, this blockchain technology has helped satisfy some of those concerns. But when you technically don't have anything tangible, that does also speak to, let's say, people buying futures contracts that they never intend on taking delivery. So there is a bit of a similarity between some of the, let's say, investment vehicles out there currently and Bitcoin, are there not?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. The relationship between like the symbol, a value, and what's supposed to signify.
Yes.
It can be like, you're right. There's options on futures contracts, and there's options on options. So we can get very abstract. But I'm thinking about more of like when I buy a stock or I buy a currency, I typically have a stop in the market at the same time. I have a profit objective. I have a strategy. I might use options. I might hold my currency in an interest-bearing security. For example, that's the whole idea behind the carry trade, say buying Russian T-bills, for example, or Brazilian T-bills. And the advantage is you get the currency and you get the yield. I can understand how I can manage that, what the wager is. But I'm not sure what the wager, not sure how to manage the risk with Bitcoin. So I do understand there's going to be options soon. So maybe it's beginning, but it's still a very early process. I think a lot of people don't understand how to trade stock options, let alone these Bitcoin options.
Hey, Mark, it's great having you on our show, as always. Mark does join us on a regular basis. Go check out his website, Mark to Market. Thanks for your time, Mark.
Thank you.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia Berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Did you know children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Credit alerts will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does, and here's an exciting offer just for you. Go to LibertyID.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL, and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com. LibertyID.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. In this segment, I am chatting with Peter Buchvar. He is the chief market analyst at the Lindsay Group. And Peter, I chat with you on a very regular basis. I also earlier in the week quoted an email, or actually a post from your website, bookreport.com, that talked about earnings season and how the markets have reacted. We will get into that. But before we do, I do have to ask you, what are your comments on the news stories that have been driving the markets this week regarding the saber-rattling between North Korea and the U.S., all this talk about war, some movements in the markets being down, a bit of a sell-off on risk-on assets, some of the safe havens getting a buy? How do you feel about war talk, geopolitics really driving markets?
I mean, historically, geopolitics matter for only a very short period of time, I think, because the irrationality of North Korea and the heightened rhetoric certainly has gotten people nervous, but it's impossible to game, it's impossible to figure out, it's impossible to trade off. So I think investors try to look through it and really see that even if without North Korea, we're entering into potentially a more treacherous time for markets as we get into Jackson Hole meeting with Mario Draghi speaking and the Fed and the ECB meetings in September.
Now, Peter, I have been talking a lot about this whole war concept and the fear factor that has come into the markets, and I do very much agree with you. Usually these things are very short-lived, which is good because that means that we haven't been going to war or at least starting any new world wars in any significant degree. But then moving on from that, as I mentioned, you came out with this post regarding earnings season, which has been praised as being a positive earnings season and how the markets have reacted. But you're also seeing that companies that disappointed were hit quite hard in the markets. This is a bit different than we've been seeing over the past few years.
Yes. Well, let me start by answering the first part with respect to earnings. Yeah, so earnings relative to expectations, well, they always beat expectations by about 70%, give or take. And that we're finally seeing earnings growth again. Well, half the earnings growth in Q1 and Q2 was energy. So put that into perspective. And the rest of it was mostly big companies that benefited from strong overseas growth and the weaker dollar. If you're a domestic-based business, your earnings were much more mixed. And even so,
we've priced in an earnings recovery twice over already. People forget that in 2016, earnings growth was zero and the market rallied 10%. So then we may have earnings growth of 10% in 2017 and the market rallies another 10%. If you even go back to end of 2012, the stock market has rallied so much more than earnings, and the difference being multiple expansion. So when I hear that stocks are up because earnings are good, I don't think that really provides true perspective on what's going on.
Well, one thing to consider, especially when it comes to earnings estimates, is that these estimates seem to always get revised going into earnings so that they are beating these estimates, which I think goes to your point that 70% of the time, usually estimates are beat in the earnings aspect. But again, what this all talks to is more money being available in the system that continues to get injected into the financial markets. We have a few pretty big meetings coming up, the most important being Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where we even have Mario Draghi speaking. What are you going to be watching here? What do you think is important?
Everyone knows that the current ECB QE program ends at the end of December. Also, everyone knows it's going to get extended to next year. What we don't know are the details. And Mario Draghi has no choice but to tell us what the plan is for 2018, because why wait to the last minute to do that? So that's why September is the perfect ECB meeting to give us details about how the plan is going to be adjusted into 2018. So Jackson Hole, being about 2 weeks before that that September meeting, is a perfect launching pad for what he's going to announce. Now, Mario Draghi honestly believes in what he's doing. He really thinks that QE saved the world and negative interest rates is the greatest thing. Therefore, he's not just going to walk away so aggressively from that. He's going to be very slow in removing accommodation. But he also has logistical challenges that he's running up against. He's running out of good bonds to buy. He's pissing off the Germans. He actually is seeing some creep up in inflation. So I do expect a further tapering. Maybe it starts in latter part of the year or January. But the problem he has is that he's got this huge bond bubble on his hands that is going to further unwind as he further tapers.
I've actually had some questions come in, Peter, that have asked me to ask our audience or ask our contributors, and I think you are one of the best people to ask about this, is what sort of coordination the central banks, the Fed, the ECB, the Bank of Japan, those are the main ones, could or should have in terms of going through this process of maybe unwinding their balance sheet, maybe tightening their monetary policies, but not all doing it at a certain rate together that ends up hurting everybody.
I don't see it happening. I mean, each of these countries want a weaker currency, and you can't really coordinate if everyone wants a weaker currency. I think each of these central banks are going to go their own way. I think they're all faced with the same challenges of failed policy. But there's one thing to have coordination when you're moving your benchmark interest rate. You raise it 25 basis points, you cut it 25 basis points. When you're so deep in the weeds in quantitative easing and maybe quantitative tightening with the Fed, and there's no coordination. How does the ECB or the Bank of Japan say to themselves, well, you know what, you only buy 40 billion euros a month and I'll buy this amount in yen. And it's logistically impossible when QE is on the table. Again, if it was just interest rates, maybe they can do something. I mean, we had coordinated rate cuts in the depths of the crisis in 08, 09. You know, that worked for a couple of days and then failed. So I think these central banks have gotten so in deep that now they're beginning to realize how difficult it is to get out, which means that they're trapped.
So it does come down to the fact that as much as they might want higher interest rates and to not be printing as much money as maybe they have been, they understand that if they take away all that easy money, that, hey, that might actually truly lead to that market collapse that a lot of the naysayers, the bears, have been predicting.
Well, I guess I can say this simply. If you're a bull here and Draghi does taper and the Fed does initiate QT, well, then you believe in free lunches. If you don't believe in free lunches, then you should be much more circumspect of this market.
So where does that leave investors then, Peter? Because the central banks have continued to kind of talk the markets in the way that, hey, we will be tightening our monetary policy. And we even saw the longer-term bond auction this week come off very weak when the shorter-term bond auction was kind of a with expectation. So investors are taking a little bit of note, aren't they?
Yes, they are, and as I think they should. But, you know, the S&Ps are still near record highs. Internally in the market, we're beginning to see some divergences. And one thing I forgot to talk about earlier on earnings, one of the main characteristics that I noticed of earnings season was, you know, even if you met or beat expectations, if it wasn't that great of an extent, your stock sold off. And if you did rally, you barely rallied. And I think investors were much less tolerant of any type of disappointments with earnings. So that tells me that maybe the realization is coming that people should adjust their risk profile, and that if multiple expansion was a major characteristic of the rebound in stocks, maybe multiple compression could be the reverse when central banks reverse themselves. I mean, the context with all of the things that we're discussing is a market that is wildly overvalued, historically speaking, therefore leaving it with little room for error. And we talked about earnings before, but on a price-to-sales ratio metric of the S&P 500, outside of 3 weeks in March 2000, this is the most expensive market of all time. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. So with that sort of backdrop, with growth in the U.S. mediocre and the Fed raising interest rates and shrinking their balance sheet, well, I think every investor should be looking themselves in the mirror and asking themselves, how exposed do they want to be?
Maybe, Peter, but hey, it's always great chatting with you. You, as I said, have a very valuable website, bookreport.com. That's B-O-O-C-K. I will also post a link to his website. But Peter, you're a valuable contributor. I always thank you very much for your time. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with the second hour of the KE Report.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to prostatemiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.